We're continuing today our series on the patriarchs, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the founders of God's people, Israel. And this week, after the bulletin had been printed on Wednesday, I made a decision to back up a little bit in the book of Genesis, so I'm not preaching on the text that's in the bulletin. We're going to go back to chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And then I'm going to skip to 15 through 18. And remember that Abraham and Sarah, Abraham, the first of the patriarchs, when God first called him, his name was Abram, which means father. And God would change his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So, Genesis 17, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And now skipping to 15. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings and peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me for prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a lot of laughter going on in the story of Abraham and Sarah and the birth of Ishmael and Isaac. First of all, Abraham is told Sarah's going to have a baby. He falls down laughing. Later on, Sarah finds out, yes, you are going to have a baby. She falls down laughing. She's 90. And then God, with a marvelous divine sense of humor, says, when the boy comes along, you'll name him Isaac. It means he laughs. And by the way, I know you're all wondering today, you're asking yourselves, Phil, what is the secret of humor? And the secret of humor is surprise, isn't it? The secret of humor is the surprise twist. Let me give you an example. Have you heard about the two silkworms that got in a race? Yeah, they ended up in a tie. Silkworms, tie. See? The surprise twist is the secret of humor. Do I have to explain it again, Chuck? Abram was 75, Sarai 65, their names haven't been changed yet, when God first called them and said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And so they went. That's in chapter 12. And then in the 15th chapter of Genesis, we're told God made a very specific promise to Abram, your own son. Your own son. You will have a son. Shall be your heir. And God took Abram outside and had him look up at the night sky and say, can you count the stars? So shall your descendants be, Abram. And then we're told, this is in chapter 15, it says, and it's one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, Abram believed God, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. He believed God, and God counted that as righteousness. In other words, as Romans chapter 5 says, which was read just a minute ago, therefore, since we are justified, in other words, made right with God, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. That verse from Genesis, Abram believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Paul quotes that directly in his letter to the Romans. Abraham is made right with God by faith, not by his performance, but by trust. And God receives that. And by his grace, through his son Jesus, to each one of us, we are counted as righteous before God. Bold to approach the throne of grace by faith alone. Well, God made those promises, initial promises to Abraham. Well, now 25 years have gone by, and God has been faithful, God has been with them, but there's a big problem. No heir, no baby has come along. And so, as people will often do, Sarai and Abram hatched a plan to help God out because God was taking too long from their measure of things. God was taking too long to fulfill the promise. And so it was Sarai herself who hatched this plan, and it sounds very strange to modern ears, but in ancient ways of thinking, it was not all that strange. She said, look, I'm too old, but I have a slave girl, Hagar, who is of childbearing age. Abram, you will father a child with her, and that will be counted as our child. We will just help God out a little bit. And so that seemed like a good enough plan. And the result was the boy Ishmael. And God said, I will bless Ishmael. He will be the beginning of a great nation also. But I'm thinking And I've always felt sorry for Ishmael, because I think that every time that Abram and Sarah looked at him, they thought, well, this isn't exactly what we had in mind, but he'll have to do. Because, after all, in life, you take what you get and you make the best of it, right? Well, then one day, out of the blue, when Abram was 99 years old, God returned. And when Abram realized it was God who was speaking to him, he fell on his face in worship. And the first thing God said was, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Almighty. I can do anything. Now, in Hebrew thinking, to reveal your name is a gift of great intimacy. When God comes to Abram at this point, and reveals his name, it's almost in a way, and it's a shadow preview of the incarnation when God came to us in the flesh. God is inviting Abram into an intimate relationship. And God reaffirmed the promise. He said, I will multiply you greatly. Then God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And now Abraham is standing back up on his feet, and I'm guessing he was feeling pretty good. Wow. I knew it. It's worked out. God is going to bless Ishmael, and Ishmael is going to be the beginning of all of my descendants. God just needed a little help. And after all, you take what you get and learn to live with it, right? We do this, brothers and sisters, all of our lives. And this that I'm talking about is Abram and Sarah's little plot that they hatched to help God out. We do this all of our lives. We take the breathtaking and awesome promises of God and we reduce them to something that we can do. We reduce them to something that we could do without God's help. And then very often, when we do it, we mistake it for God's action, for God's gift. We take the promises of God and we turn them into reasonable goals that we can get for ourselves. And we come to church and we hear the promises of God again, and then we just assume that our busy, full, stressed out, and unhappy lives are what God must have had in mind. But you take what you get and you learn to live with it, right? Five years ago, in answer to God's call, we set out on an adventure to start a new church. And God has been good to us over these last 5 years. And God has blessed us. And the adventure is still exciting. There are some things we ought to fear about this adventure, but usually the things that we fear are not the things we ought to be afraid of. We're not a big church, and how can I put this? Most of us are on the Abraham and Sarah end of the age spectrum. Yes. And the thing that we're tempted to fear, And I think the thing that any church is tempted to fear. And as I said, I think we have a habit of fearing the wrong things. The fear, the wrong fear, is that we will overreach, that we will bite off more than we can chew, that we'll dream too big. And then we'd just fail because it would be too much, right? We would bite off more than we could chew. That's not what we should fear most. What we should fear most, church, is that we will shrink the promises of God down to something that we could do without Him. We will reduce God's faithfulness to something that could be accomplished by human beings without God having any part in it. But you have to take what you get and learn to live with it, right? God does not settle for plan B. One of the things I love about the story of Abraham and Sarah, they keep trying to settle for plan B, and God will have none of it. God gets the last laugh. And He never gives up on them. God wasn't done talking to Abraham. God said, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah." And it means something like princess. "You shall call her name Sarah. I will bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son by her." Abraham fell on his face again, this time laughing. "That's rich, God. I'm 100, she's 90. His exact words, "Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Every time I read this story, I remember an incident that took place many years ago when I was a seminary student. And one of my friends at the seminary, and by the way, they used to send us out. I don't know if seminaries still do this, but I'm looking over at Abby and Preston. I don't know if seminaries, they're recent seminary graduates. I don't know if seminaries still do this, but they used to send us out to practice preach. They would inflict us on nursing homes. And I look back now and I really feel for those people. But anyway, a friend of mine, he was assigned to preach at a nursing home an afternoon, Sunday afternoon service. And he preached on this text, Abraham and Sarah. And he was attempting some humor, and he read the part about God's promise that Sarah would have a baby at the age of 90, and he pointed out that that's older. He said, "That's older than a lot of you here." He said, "Just think what this means." He said that one of you might have a baby any day. he thought he was going to be humorous. No one laughed. No one laughed. And there was a long, awkward pause, and finally one woman spoke up and said, "Preposterous." She got it. It is preposterous in human terms, based on what human beings can do, what human beings are capable of on their own. But then my friend said the most vivid memory of that day came after the service, when an employee of the nursing home who had been listening in, a middle-aged person, came up to him and said, "I was listening to what you said. I've always wanted a baby, but I'd given up hope. I think I'm going to start hoping again. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Isn't that what you just said? And he immediately started backpedaling. Well, we can't, you know, take this as a promise to us. This was a promise to Abraham and Sarah. And, you know, we pray for all kinds of things that we don't get. And now all of that is true. We do pray for things that we don't get. We pray for the sick, and not everyone is healed. We pray for a new job, and not everyone gets that new job. We pray for marriages, and sometimes they come apart anyway. In spite of our prayers for the world is still conflicted. In spite of our prayers for our nation is still conflicted and divided right now. Now, does that mean we give up hope? Does that mean we whittle down the promises of God? Well, brothers and sisters, we live by hope. We have to live by hope. And the reason is we follow a Savior, Jesus, who was the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. Through your offspring, all the world will be blessed. And that promise is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Jesus welcomed outcasts. He touched lepers and healed them. He gave sight to the blind. He went to the cross to carry our sin and break its power, to set us free, to know God as our Father. And then he rose from the dead. With a Savior like this, what promise are we going to limit? This is God Almighty. This is the one who defeated death, who rose from the dead. What promise of his are we going to say, it's too big, or it's not for us, or not now? Later on, some angels came around. It's very mysterious. These three men, the text says, came to visit Abraham and Sarah. But it's very mysterious who these three are, because when they speak, the Lord speaks. Are they angels? Are they somehow the presence of the Lord himself? It's very mysterious. But Abraham is outside of his tent, and he welcomes these three mysterious visitors. And they tell Abraham that this time next spring, Sarah will have a baby. Sarah was inside the tent, eavesdropping, overheard them, and busted out laughing. And in response, God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Then one of the greatest questions in the Bible, is anything too hard for the Lord? Another translation of that is anything too wonderful for the Lord? That's a really good question, isn't it? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? It's a question for every person, every believer, who has waited and waited on the Lord to fulfill his promises in your life. And maybe you've waited so long that you've grown tired and you've whittled your hopes down. Because after all, you have to take what you get in life and learn to live with it, right? Not with this God, brothers and sisters. That's not what our Father intends for you. What would happen if one day God were to speak to you? And God were to say, remember that promise that I gave you long ago? I've not forgotten. Will you hope in me again? Now we might say, that's preposterous. Or we might say, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? We are, brothers and sisters, we are heirs of the promises given to Abraham and Sarah. That does not mean everything we might dream of or everything we want will come to be. We know that. But God said to Abraham, I will bless you. I will show myself to you. I will give myself to you. And you will be a blessing. You will bless others. That promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God has given himself to us that we might be a blessing to others. We are heirs of that promise. It's significant that God changes Abraham's and Sarah's names before they have a son. He gets called father of nations before Isaac comes along. God is making it clear that their new identity is to be found in trusting the promise, not necessarily in the fulfillment of the promise. And it's even more significant that God first gives to Abraham his name. God reveals his own name, one of his names, El Shaddai, God Almighty. The name says it all. Is there any hope too big for a God with a name like that? And the same is true for us. We're called to trust in the promise. God is the Almighty One, infinitely bigger than we can imagine. Then the mystery too big for us, but without mystery, there is no hope. Without mystery, without the power of God, we're living only within the parameters of what we can accomplish apart from God. Without God, there's no surprises. And when there's no surprises, there's no real laughter, no real joy. And it's also telling in this story that God did not rebuke Abraham and Sarah for laughing. God didn't punish them. Well, in a way, he punished them, because every time they said, Isaac, it means he laughs. I've got this picture in my mind. Sarah is pulling up to the curb for the meeting of her bridge club. She's the only one, she gets there late because she's the only one bringing a baby, the only one that had to get a baby ready. And she's the only one with a car seat, baby seat in the back of her Buick. And she comes lugging little Laughter up the walk. And all the other ladies looking out the window break into great big smiles. And they remember, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Let's pray. Mighty Father, give us grace to trust your promises. Forgive us for trusting only in ourselves and what we can accomplish on our own. Give us a bigger vision for what you can do in our lives, in our church, in your church around the world, in Christian congregations throughout this valley. Oh God, you love your world and you sent your Son into the world for us. God, it's easy for us sometimes to chuckle inside and think, well, not for me. But Lord, you are the one who makes and keeps promises. You are El Shaddai, the Almighty. So we pray in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.